If you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal a facilitator.
All right, this is Pure Decking number 192 for Thursday, October the 8th, 2015. This is a show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight I am drinking the last of my Eagle Rare, which is sad. I have to go buy more booze. BSV, what are you drinking?
Sadly, currently nothing.
He's drinking a sad helping of nothing. Fair enough. Madman, what are you drinking?
Kentucky Ale.
Good man. What do you got, Static?
Well, let's see. I have the Cruise M151, of course. Then I have a nitrate pill with 600 milligrams of ibuprofen, the antidepressant medication, an oxycodone. There's a few other ones. I don't remember. I got several pills. I just threw them all in the mouth and swallow.
Faced with rum, this man's going to die at an early age. He'll be happy.
The heart attack didn't kill me. I'm good.
Got that teenager invulnerability thing again, doesn't he?
Yep. I survived cancer and the heart attack so far. I think I can survive this.
And according to Left 4 Dead, you're supposed to take the pills by the bottle.
That's right. That's how it feels, dude. Twice a day, morning and night, I take pills by the bottle.
I don't remember them down in the bottles with alcohol afterwards in the game.
That's just because they didn't have any. You know, if you were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, you know you would be too. Twas,
yes.
What are you downing during the middle of a zombie apocalypse?
Today I am downing gin and tonic.
Yeah, classy.
Anyone know what gin is made from?
Like gin berries or something. Fuck, I don't
gin
know.
Gin berries.
Nice.
Pine needles, maybe.
I thought gin was a flavored or spiced vodka, wasn't it?
Here, I've got a bottle right next to me. Vapor infused too.
You know what? We're all on the internet. Let's see here.
Yeah. It's infused with selected botanicals.
Juniper berries is the.
Oh, okay. Hey, we have
flavor.
Those where I live.
Rock
it's delicious.
On.
I like gin.
Yeah, I thought gin and vodka were similar. I guess I'm wrong.
Gin, like vodka, just not? Tastes like booze. Like vodka's just vodka. Gin actually has some taste to it.
Well, I thought gin was a spiced vodka, but I guess I'm like totally wrong. So, never really developed a taste for gin, although I might have to try that sometime.
Gin and tonic's really the only way I drink gin. It doesn't really work with anything else that I've found. gotta throw a little bit of lemon in there.
And Mexican tequila. I have several coworkers that work in Mexico, and I get a couple bottles a year throughout the year.
A real tequila?
A real tequila. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's almost
how
the
can
holidays.
You taste, how can you taste it? You've got to be like numb from the neck down with everything you're taking, or the neck up. I'm not quite sure how that works, truthfully.
My taste buds work fine. Now, my extremities, that's a different story.
Fair enough. All right, so let's just start things off here. So China, the story I have is from Computer World. In China, every citizen is being assigned a credit score that drops if the person buys and plays video games, or posts political comments online without prior permission, or if even social media friends do it. So who you know affects your credit score in China.
Wow. Holy fuck, draconian fucking, oh wow.
And that's why you have two Facebook accounts. One with all the party members as your friends, and the other one that you use.
Yeah, but if they find evidence of having two, that's a executional offense.
What,
so Ho Chin is going to have 1,000 Facebook accounts.
Stop and think about this for a minute. You know what this means? This means every financial transaction in China, if it doesn't already, goes through their government.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it means a lot more than that. It means that the government knows who your friends are. They wouldn't institute something like this if they didn't.
Well, since most of go on Baidu or Facebook and blatantly announce to the world who their friends are, that's less surprising. So
simple solution.
The ACLU is warning that they could start trying to pull this shit here too, called the social. Here it is. The new social credit system is linked to 1.3 billion Chinese citizens' national ID cards, scoring them on their behavior and the activities of friends in your social graph and the people you identify as friends on social media. Citizens' credit scores, or citizen scores, are affected by their own political opinions and political opinions of their friends. The system leverages all of the... Now, wait just a damn minute. Seriously. My political opinions and my friend's political opinions hardly line up at all. I mean, Suave, you and I have tried to kill each other before over politics.
It's true.
I mean, you broke up the knife fight and informed us both that everyone was equally terrible. But, I mean, it was getting kind of edgy there.
True.
But on the bright side, Suave would have apologized if he stabbed you.
Also
it would
true.
Have been a great eulogy.
So very sorry, Morbs.
The big downside to this is the credit score is supposed to dictate whether or not someone's trustworthy to pay back a debt. That's its entire purpose. It's getting away from that now. So I can have an excellent credit score because I suck Chairman Mao's dick, but
yep.
never actually pay back any of my debts.
Well, yeah. I think this is more about you're accessing media that we don't approve of. We hurt your credit score. You're saying things we don't approve of. We hurt your credit score. Your friends are doing this, so therefore you get the social pressure thing. We hurt your credit score. We make it impossible for you to have, you know, to function in the modern economy if you don't toe the party line.
Disagree.
Go ahead.
You do not need a credit score to function, period, in the story.
That's
true. It depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, if
you
make it really difficult
it
to get
you at all.
Like loans to like you know like if you want to start a business or something like that.
No, you do not have to have a credit score to get a loan.
You can do debt to income ratio. Fewer and fewer banks are doing that, but a debt to income ratio is still a possibility for getting a loan.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's the more accurate one, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it's a lot more accurate.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Bill Gates has a credit score around zero because he pays cash for shit. He's a billionaire.
Right. If you're wealthy,
well,
you don't borrow money.
He might write checks. Let's be honest.
Sure.
That's a lot to carry around in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you're wealthy, you don't need a. That's why I said you don't need the credit score.
Well, it's not just if you're wealthy. If you're looking at a debt to income ratio, then let's say you work at McDonald's, making $10 an hour. They look at how much money do you make a month and how much money do you owe a month. If you have a positive amount after you get this loan, then you can get a loan. So even poor people can do it with the debt to income ratio. And in a long-term economic plan, this might actually benefit China if it reduces their national debt held by individuals. If they move to more, I have the money to pay for it, so I'm going to buy it. If not, I'm going to save until I can buy it. But it would cause a short-term economic slowdown because there's less money going out at that time that this adjustment's going through. And anyone that's using a credit score to base whether or not you should get a loan is going to be fucked because the credit score is no longer going to say, this person pays back debt, which is what a credit score does. It's going to say, this person sucks Chairman Mao's dick and may pay back their debts. That's risky.
Well, here's the other thing, though. So, what if they're going to start doing more with the credit score than assessing whether or not you can get a car loan? Or an apartment, or hell, even a cell phone, they do a credit check these days. We found that out with T-Mobile. You know, what if it's like, Yes, your credit would be excellent, but we see the three black marks here, and we don't want to get shot, so yeah, we can't rent you the apartment.
Because credit, if you're moving credit to, score, you can't do business with someone because of the things on their credit score. Now that could be very bad.
What you think about it, if their government is doing this, and it's going to be mandatory by 2020. Like right now, it's not mandatory, but it will be. And the ACLU then goes on in the article to complain about how, you know, with everything hoovering up everyone's data, it's only a matter of time before similar shit starts happening elsewhere. But it won't be as obvious. I'm sorry, BSV, I didn't mean to cut you off. BSV.
It's not really. It won't be a credit score eventually, because I think it said a few times, referred to it more of a citizen score than a credit score. It's loyalty, and when governments start splitting their population of their people up by who's loyal to the government.
Make I don't sure see you're that one of those in line for the Nazi armband. You're less likely to get shot.
What were you going to say, Suave?
One thing it's definitely going to do is drive any legitimate video game sales left in China onto the black market. There's going to be no more legitimate video game sales. Everybody's just going to go buy it on the black market because you can buy it with cash, and it's, you know, just nobody
pull it straight from torrent sites.
That too. And on top of that, you know, people are probably going to be looking at more ways to hide their video game usage from the government. It's going to be great for privacy. It's basically going to be driving like privacy concerns into the regular internet user, as opposed to just like, you know, a small percentage.
The NSA they're going, man, what is with all this Tor traffic from China?
They're playing Quake.
They're playing WoW.
They're just playing Quake.
Oh, we gotta break out some QuakeNet later. I don't think I've gotten you guys to play QuakeNet. It's Quake.
Why in the world would they target video games?
I think they're using that as an example. It's probably media that their government doesn't approve of.
Yeah.
I watched Survivor. Oh God. Wait a minute. You should be punished for that. Never mind.
Well, I mean, you know, if you can get your citizen score damaged by watching American news, I mean, shit.
So, oh, yeah. International news, things that are coming from other than China's controlled media.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking they're just using video games as the example. But I think that really just means media that the government doesn't control.
Yeah.
But even more interesting is, if you think about this, though, if this is your citizen score, can you be jailed for having too low of a citizen score?
That's a good question.
It's like,
not
so,
yet. Well, they won't put that in the first generation of the law, because then nobody will accept it.
You have
That'll
to use
come
that
later.
Into it.
I'm just thinking, you know, are you going to have the room where they, you know, black van you pick you up? So you have two options. I'm not even going to try to do an accent of anything. It's like, sir, you have two options. You can either go online and start really kissing ass, or you can, you know, open up 14 more credit cards and spend.
Yeah.
Mandatory credit score. That's scary as hell.
You spend money here. We give you things. Your rating go up. Government like you.
Go TV come with an egg roll. It's a combo. Combos come with egg roll.
And soy sauce. Wait,
did you just say TV comes with the egg roll?
Yes. It's
okay.
All combos come with an egg roll, damn it.
And soy sauce. And
I wish the Chinese restaurants around here did that. You always got to pay extra for the damn egg roll.
By the combo.
Then they don't have a combo.
Yeah, all combos at Chinese places have egg rolls.
Yeah, it's true. he's not lying.
Let me get Chinese tomorrow night now.
Oh,
I haven't had Chinese in like a year.
There's a Panda Express just up the road from my office.
Damn it.
Comes with an egg roll, dude. That's the combo. Fried rice and an egg roll.
Nice.
Although to be fair, Oh, the Chinese place around here, you don't get an egg roll, but on AHO deliveries, you get those deep-fried donut things.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
My favorite is the fortune cookies that don't actually have fortunes in them.
Well, that just means you're going to die soon. Don't drive
I mean,
the car
every
with
fortune,
you after
that. You know, every fortune cookie except for that one has, you know, had some, like, proverb or saying or people like you in it. It's like, that's not a fortune. Except, you know, that there was that one that said, don't stand next to the railroad tracks when Madman's around at 3 in the morning. And I paid attention to that one, and I'm assuming that it would have, you know, things could have gone differently. But,
yeah. Well, as
that,
long as
that one was prescient, but...
Just as long as you don't get the fortune cookie that just says, you don't want to know.
You open up your fortune cookie, and the fortune says, improve your citizen score! You look up, and there's the guy in the suit. It's like, damn!
You did not improve it fast enough.
You gave me 5 seconds!
You should have hit like on Facebook for China. We have a Facebook page. We need 1 billion likes.
Whereas Timmy gets it. Or, well, you, I mean, you see those Facebook campaigns. Oh, this is going to so screw with those Facebook campaigns. You know, the ones where, that are like, you know, the doctor won't save the kid's life if it doesn't get 1 million likes or whatever the hell. Oh. Nobody else seen those?
I've seen those.
Stupid shit.
I've got to start a Tumblr campaign now. Set up a PayPal account. If I don't get $10,000 by Tuesday, a rabbit gets skinned alive.
And it's not even going to be cruelty to animals if you eat the rabbit.
I'll grill it.
Well, although,
possibly still alive also.
Although, honestly, getting it from the pet store might be a...
pet store, that's going to cost money. There's like 6 of them outside of my apartment every morning.
They just saved him the cost of going out and buying the bullet and shooting the animal.
Well, you see, all if right. He gets the likes, he just kills the animal or the rabbit before skinning it.
The nation of China starts liking things on these campaigns because people want their credit score.
I think... there'll be more stupid people involved in politics in China simply because they want to be able to get a credit card.
I wonder if, like, the government of China is going to become the world's largest advertising agency where their citizens get a better credit score by looking at the ads that they serve up so the government can charge a ridiculous amount of money because everybody's going to be looking at these ads.
You say that, but there actually are sweatshops in India where that's what they do. They pay people, like, nothing. Like, minimum wage, whatever the hell it is over there. It's like, you know, pennies an hour. Yeah. And they sit there and they click on ads or, you know, make fake logins and go spam shit. I mean,
that's,
you know, it's to get around captures and shit like that. And they figured out it was cheaper to just hire slave labor in India than it was to... And well, in other parts of the world, and the Middle East has got a few, Africa's got several, but where it was cheaper just to hire people instead of writing to bots.
Right.
You know,
that's so sad. That means there's an Indian man over there less valuable than 4 lines of code.
Oh, only 4 lines. Yeah. You're writing in Python. Try Bash. You get it in like 2.
Okay, there's somebody worth less than 2 lines of code.
Welcome to the real world.
God, I gotta start buying and selling people. You buy them whole and then sell out the parts? I bet you can make a ton of money.
Yeah,
like a chop shop for people.
So here's, you know, here's a Wikipedia article if you want to make yourself sad there, Madman. Quick Farms. Just to read it out, the Wikipedia article here, a click farm is a form of click fraud, where a large group of low-paid workers is hired to click on paid advertising links for the click fraudster. The worker clicks the link, surfs the target website for a period of time, then possibly sign up for newsletters prior to clicking another link. For many of these workers, clicking on enough ads per day may increase their revenue substantially, and they may also be an alternative to other types of work. It is extremely difficult for an automated filter to detect the simulated traffic as fake because the visitor appears, behaves exactly as that of an actual legitimate visitor because, you know, they're human. Fake likes generating from click farms are essentially different from those who are in computer bots where the computer programs are written by software experts. To deal with these issues, companies such as Facebook are trying to create algorithms that seek to wipe out accounts with unusual activities. So, yeah, I was wondering, I wonder if the Wikipedia page has anything on what they're paying these people, because it's like nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Couple bucks a day, maybe?
Yeah, I bet you it's not even that.
Well, it's not on the Wikipedia page, but yeah, go Google ClickFarm if you want some dark reading. And in some places, it's actually not that dark. Some of these people, you know, it's a decent job. Some of them aren't, because they basically chain them up and make them do this shit.
No different than, like, gold farming for MMOs and stuff like that.
Do you remember we used to run around WoW and claim we were Chinese gold farmers, and that if we didn't get away from whoever was asking us for shit, we'd get beaten?
Yes, very fun. I also preferred the WoW lottery when it existed.
So, all right, so this one's from Ars Technica. Suspicious of tethering AT&T is planning to kill somebody's unlimited data plan. And I actually still have one of these unlimited data plans as well. I've had it forever. So basically, a longtime AT&T customer, still carrying one of the old unlimited plans, got a letter saying they're going to terminate his service and bump him into one of the metered plans if he doesn't quit tethering his phone. Here's the catch. He has no idea how to tether his phone. So he said he's not been doing it, but AT&T told ours, we've got 5 instances of tethering that all happened after the unreleased beta OS was installed on the phone. So, he said he's running a Nokia Lumia, which is not jailbroken, but he did install Windows 10 Mobile Preview. And so now AT&T says, oh, you're tethering. And they're going to kick him off.
Did the old contracts ban tethering? Because I don't think tethering existed when the unlimited data plan existed.
Well, it wasn't a thing yet. So what would happen is, your plan doesn't allow for it. And now if you tether, they'll kick you onto one of the plans. So I used to tether a lot, but on the old unlimited plan, but I haven't done that in a very long time because they started watching for this shit.
Okay.
And I don't want to lose my unlimited because my phone bill will probably double.
Right.
But,
I kind of wonder if the guy just says, or if the guy actually just does tether and says, you know, and is just saying that he's not.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where, I have some personal experience with this.
Yeah.
Because not the last time I worked on my phone plan, but the time before that, mm-hmm. when I upgraded my phone, they were like, oh, hang on, let's fix this for you, and tried to take me off my unlimited plan. I had to raise holy hell to get it back because the guy changed my plan without me giving him the okay to do so.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, it's already done and you can't get it back. It's like, he did not have permission to change my contract.
Yeah.
And I had to raise holy hell until they put it back on.
Yeah.
Because, the guy just did it. And mm-hmm. they were told to do that, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they totally do that. A lot of the times they'll even give them incentives and stuff like that. Like, they'll have a goal to do something, and they'll give you, like, you know, $5 or something every time you do that. So, you end up with all kinds of, like, because everybody in these call centers, like, they're usually just, like, fucking kids out of high school or some, you know, it's not very competent people. And you totally end up with lots of people really abusing the system and getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is that what this really is AT&T is really trying to get people off these unlimited plans and onto the metered ones.
Yeah.
And this goes back to the conversation we were having last week about ad blockers. How if your data is metered, you're going to be trying to block anything you don't actually want from coming into your phone.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if he's like just using a VPN or maybe, or even just like torrents or something like that. There's all kinds of things that give some somewhat irregular traffic patterns. I kind of wonder what they're actually looking for.
Well, you know what I'm
thinking? If he's tethering or not.
You know what I think it probably is, truth be told? AT&T is very aggressive about trying to get people off of the unlimited plans. They have been for a while. He recently put Windows 10 on his phone. And Microsoft made a big deal about how Windows 8, to an extent, and Windows 10 is supposed to be pretty much the same code base across all their SKUs. Well, the way they look for tethering is they're supposed to know what your phone is. Like, you know, you go on there and say, I've got an iPhone, I've got an Android, I've got a Windows phone, I've got, you know, a chocolate bar, whatever your cell phone is.
Yeah.
I've got an Arduino board wired up to some proto board and, a ham radio. I have no idea what all options they have on there. But, their system is probably looking, like if you have an iPhone and it sees the user agent for Windows come across, that's probably a pretty good indicator that you're tethering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have an Android phone and they start seeing Safari, that's, you've probably tethered an iPad, right?
Right, yeah.
So, and that's a pretty common thing. So from a network traffic monitoring, that's not that hard of a thing to look for, is to figure out the common user agent, the common strings. The BSD project has this fantastic firewall called PF, and PF will actually attempt to identify the operating system of whatever the traffic it's working on is.
Yeah.
And if you've ever used pfSense as, firewall on a box, it'll tell you this shit, just by watching the traffic. You see Windows, usually even down to a major version number. So,
a guy ought to be able to get around that just by using a VPN, hey?
Well, I always, whenever I tethered, I would use a VPN, but whenever I did it, I usually tried to match devices. So if I tethered an iPad to an iPhone, that's okay. Really hard to find, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if I had to tether my laptop, I would try to make sure everything was going through a VPN back to my house and then go out from there. So it was really hard to tell what the traffic was.
Yeah.
And force HTTPS everywhere if you can, that kind of stuff. But their system's pretty aggressive now. It's probably a lot more aggressive than it was back when I was tethering, because that was years ago.
It saw the new Windows OS and thought it was a computer instead of his phone.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
That's fucked up. That's why you go T-Mobile, unlimited talk, text, and web for $50.
Really?
Yeah, I pay $50, unlimited talk, text, and web. I pay by the month, no contract.
Nice.
I might be looking at a new phone contract, other than I lose my old unlimited. Although if T-Mobile's offering a new one, shit.
You just need to look at their coverage in your area.
But I thought they piggybacked off AT&T.
No. They don't, but here's the thing. It's free unlimited up to a certain point, then of like 4G LTE speed, then you get throttled.
Yeah. So those ingress sessions would knock me out pretty quick then.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, they used to have unlimited cell phone internet out here in Saskatchewan, but They recently nixed that and replaced it with, you get 13 gigabytes, and then after that, it's still unlimited, but they, like, pretty much slow you down to dial up.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, AT&T does that, too. They used to do it at 5 gig. They raised the cap because people were bitching so much.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, where I am now, Wi-Fi is pretty prevalent, so, that I haven't been as bad on my data usage, but, I used to really make use of it.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah, I used to, too, back in the day.
Well, I would VPN from my phone into my job and work from my phone.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And now I'm on an iPhone, but I was on Android for a while there, and Android's got a bunch of fantastic terminal emulators. A little Bluetooth keyboard, you can actually get a lot of shit done. I've been using Cathode on iOS as a terminal emulator. It's not bad, but it doesn't hold a candle to some of the nicer Linux interfaces on Android, which is sad.
Right.
So I usually have to SSH into a real Linux server to get anything done. But anyways, next story up. This one is from motherboard.vice.com. The United Nations is apologizing for its fault-ridden cyber violence report. So, for anybody who's not aware, they had a bunch of social justice types give speeches at the UN, including
Joey Quinn and Anita Sarkeesian.
Yeah. And a spokesperson for the United Nations International Telecommunications Union apologized for several errors and poorly sourced material in its Broadband Commission Cyber Violence Against Women and Girls report, out that it would be much improved in the forthcoming revision. So, pretty much, the UN bought into the social justice thing hook, line, and sinker, saying that women and girls are abused online. And, there's a lot of trash talk that goes on online. I mean,
oh yeah, no, I'll totally give them that. Like, I just read it about some girl who's complaining that, like, somebody had, like, I think it was actually an ARK survival server where somebody had, like, locked her up. And, like, she was just basically trapped in a box and they wouldn't let her get away. And, because you can knock people out, you can, like, knock them out and, like, force feed them to keep them healthy and stuff like that. So they just, like, kept her as their, like, prisoner and called them her, like, their sex slave and stuff like that. Just because, like, it was a girl.
But, see, here's the thing. So how many black eyes did she have from this experience?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. It's just a video game. You can disconnect at any time.
Yeah, you can log out.
Yeah, but like people are dicks. Like that sort of shit happens all the time. But
it happens to anybody. If you log in with a female avatar, that kind of shit will happen.
You don't have to log in with a female avatar. How many times were you camped in WoW?
Yeah, that's true.
BSV plays a female. Okay, I know what we're doing next.
An MMO, you've been griefed in it.
This is true.
I mean, people trash talk online, and
oh yeah,
that's hell. You get the whole thing, the Linux mailing list thing I was telling you guys about earlier, the Linux kernel developers mailing list, where you get a SJW who was basically was a kernel contributor and started interjecting herself into other people's mailing list conversations about how they discuss things, saying it's not right to insult people, and it's like obviously you have no idea how Linus operates. But Linus Torvald is kind of legendary for letting people have it. But it's one of those things where you have that existing culture. But then she put up this this blog post of what she thought open source culture should be and how the ultimate goal should be diversity. And whereas I don't think diversity is a bad thing, I don't think it's a goal.
The ultimate goal of open source software is to have open source software.
Right. Yeah. The goal of your organization should be, I don't know, whatever you built your organization to do. Write software or set up a convention, run a website. I have no idea. Pick something. But
yeah.
I doubt it's build a diverse organization. I mean, that doesn't... I'm not saying that you shouldn't... if somebody wants in, who cares what they are? They want in. They want to help, right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but their helping has to further the goal of the organization. Like, the Department of Diversity should not exist in an organization.
Well, I mean, help me out here, because I honestly don't see the idea of diversity as a laudable goal. I see it as just a side effect of having an open organization.
Yeah.
But, like, she was having things like you should devote certain amounts of meeting time to new voices. And it's like, that's almost insulting, because if you have to devote a certain amount of time to new voices, do you really want to... Do you think about how that feels to I don't know, you know, go the old affirmative action argument. Do you really want to fill somebody's quota of black people? I mean, what happened to judging somebody based on their ideas?
That's not social justice. We need equal outcomes, not equal opportunity, Morps. I should be able to rub myself with Vaseline and masturbate 23 hours a day and still get paid as much as a productive member of society. And it's even more so if you have a uterus, because uteruses are important. Unless you're a trans uterus, and then even more important, diversity, diversity.
So back to the article here. They said the big problem was footnoting, which was not up to standard, and they very much regret that. So pretty much when they're citing all their sources for where they got all this information,
yeah,
a lot of the footnotes are blank or referencing other parts of the report. And in one instance, they even referenced another file on whoever wrote it's C drive.
Wow. That's painful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I get lost here because I don't follow this stuff except to kind of point and laugh at it, really.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't understand how anybody can take this kind of crap seriously. It's like they're trash talking online. So the fuck what? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'll be honest. I have been trash talked by girls way worse than I've ever been trash talked by guys. And I saw it's just never been a consideration for me that poor girls can't take it, because my experience has always been, not only can they take it, they can dish it. So
yeah.
A lot of the people that have trash talked me, I'm not sure what gender they are, because we're in a video game.
Oh, I was referring to, you know, actual life, but
oh, you're not talking on the internet. Oh yeah, women can fucking tear you down.
I mean, shit, dude. But
and also you got to remember too, most of the time this stuff's coming from like children and stuff.
Yeah, they're like 12. Like,
yeah,
you know, that 12-year-old who's talking about what he did to your mom last night has no idea what any of that means.
Yeah,
it's like he gave her a sugar. You know, it's like, kid, you don't know what a Cleveland steamer is, and if you did, you would be horrified at what you just said.
That's why you do a glass bottom boat. It's a Cleveland steamer without the cleanup. Needs saran wrap for it, though.
Anybody who spent any time on Urban Dictionary, I apologize, because that was gross.
We need to educate the trash talkers on the internet when you realize they're 12. It's like, kid, this is what you said. This is what you meant to say.
All right. So let's see. Next article here is from Ars Technica. Weave, you know, the guy who was sent to jail because he found a flaw in AT&T's website and wrote a bot.
Okay.
He was released on a technicality after about a year in jail. But he's now threatening his prosecutors with information from the Ashley Madison leaks.
That's hilarious.
Let's see. The statements of prosecutors should be involatile, and yet all around the country, you all have continually spewed nothing but lies in federal criminal cases, writes Oppenheimer. Even the most sacred personal oath that a man can take is a rotten joke to people like you, the promise of commitment to one's wife. We have located a number of U.S. attorneys within the Ashley Madison data set using the resources of taxpayers, offices, computers, paid time, and internet connections to attempt to cheat on their wives. he went straight for government employee. His quote, I went straight for government employees because they seemed the easiest to shame. So, I mean, it's Weave, right? He is a professional internet troll. That's what he does. And I just think it's hilarious that he's going after his prosecutors because they were in Ashley Madison's database.
That is fucking amazing. And why did he get thrown in jail?
When the iPad 1 first came out, you could only get that stuff through AT&T. And you had to register it with AT&T for the cell phone service. And through their website, there was a form where you would punch in the serial number of your iPad, and AT&T would return the email address of who it was registered to. So we wrote a bot that could count, basically. It just started counting through the serial numbers and recording the email addresses that came back, and he published them. It was, what was, oh, they got the number in the article, 114,000 email addresses of iPad users.
Wow.
But and he didn't break the law. AT&T, no, AT&T fucked up.
He hacked AT&T's website is the thing he was sent to law to jail for. You know, a web page that was publicly accessible that anybody could enter and manipulate. And
he could have keyed that stuff in by hand on their website and it would just popped up.
Actually, in his case, it was because they determined he had malicious intent because he didn't report it to AT&T. He wrote a bot. So they said that's malicious intent and they sent him to jail. Well, in his case, it is malicious intent because he was intending to fuck with people. But I don't think what he did was illegal because I don't think it was actually hacking. He was just manipulating URLs. I mean, yeah, that you're right. This is AT&T's fuck up and they blamed it on him.
Yeah, if anyone was going to go to jail, it should be, I don't even think it should be a jailable offense. AT&T should have been fined or something.
Well, like, I mean, AT&T should have built their website. I mean, yeah, okay, he abused it, obviously. And, you know, sure, slap on the wrist, but, you know, even maybe even civil suits for publishing private email addresses, right? But, I mean, yeah, that's AT&T made a page public that shouldn't have been. So, but that is the great security researcher's dilemma of are you going to be blamed because the company doesn't know what they're doing?
And that's why companies aren't being told when their websites are fucked up, because the person that finds it, if they tell them, could be prosecuted. If they sell it, they make money.
Well, hell, I mean, you want to have fun, do the Google search Black Hat talk pulled due to legal threat. Don't specify what talk because there's going to be a bunch that come back.
I bet.
Yeah, you're basically companies are resorting to the legal system to shut people up because they can't fix their stuff.
Yeah, because they won't fix their stuff.
Well, you know, you look at it from the company's point of view. Some asshole on the internet is pointing out a flaw in their product and it's going to cost them lots of money to get it fixed, or they can spend less money on a lawyer to shut the asshole up. Right?
Yeah.
They don't see it that, you know, this thing that the asshole's talking about is going to cause a major problem down the road. They just see it as some asshole on the internet. You know, tunnel vision when it comes to these things. So the next story is from clickorlando.com and is hilarious. In Tallahassee, Florida, a Florida man set up fake job interviews and collected urine samples from potential applicants so he could access their social security numbers, bank information, personal data, according to the police. Gerald Howard Washington was arrested on charges of criminal use of personal identification information and organized communications fraud after Tallahassee police say he stole personal information from multiple job seekers. Authorities said Wednesday that Washington posted online ads claiming he was hiring for 1,100 Tallahassee-based jobs. He set up a temporary office in the state capitol and personally met with many of the job seekers. He accessed their social security numbers, bank information, and collected a $25 application fee. Authorities said Washington told applicants they were hired and even gave them a start date, even though the jobs did not actually exist. So this guy's scam was he rented an office, right? For like a month or something. You know, a little bit of temporary office space. Put out ads probably on Craigslist. And, you know, said he was hiring for, you know, whatever. And people would come in and interview with him. And he would use their personal information to go, you know, set up fake credit cards and, you know, clean out their bank account and shit. And apparently was even taking urine samples. I don't know about that one. I'm not sure what purpose that serves. Maybe.
Maybe it was just to show legitimacy or something.
Yeah,
and it's another fee to another fee.
Well, he was charging him a $25 fee. So, I mean, that's a hell of a scam.
Yeah.
Does it say how many he get? I didn't catch that part.
No, they didn't say how many. They just said he was advertising for over 1,000 jobs. And you think about it, I mean, people are always desperate for jobs. I mean, shit, that's a hell of a scam. So I guess if you go for a job interview and it's a temporary office, you know, building, whatever, maybe be a little bit careful before you pee in the cup.
Yeah, and what's fucked up is a lot of legitimate, like, recruiters use those temporary spaces for just what he was doing. So he had a great scam.
Well, charging people the application fee alone is a hell of a scam, because you'll get thousands of people showing up for that, right?
That's a great idea, actually. Don't open the credit cards. Actually, just take the fee and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if just taking the fee, how often have you called back and when told you didn't get a job, check to see if the job existed, rather than just moving on with your life?
Exactly. Well,
here's the real question. If he wasn't, okay, seriously, if he wasn't abusing their personal information, is it illegal?
Yes, he is committing fraud. Theft. Why? By deception. He's taking my processing fee for a job application for a job that does not exist.
Okay, well,
and so that he knows does not exist.
I'm going to put a job offer out there of someone to be my personal assistant. I got to find the right person.
Interview 1,000 people and give up? Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't find the right person, you're fine. But he's not saying, the charge isn't that he didn't find a right person for any of these thousands of jobs he's saying. These jobs never existed. So it's not that he couldn't find someone qualified, thus the job went away. That would be legitimate. He didn't have the jobs to offer in the first place. That's theft by deception.
All right. This next story up is from digitaltrends.com. LinkedIn has agreed to pay out $13 million to settle a class action lawsuit brought a couple of years back following complaints that the company was sending out too many emails to users and without their consent. So how did LinkedIn notify its users of this development and the fact that they're going to be getting their settlement checks? They sent them an email.
Fucking amazing. They're already in the spam folder. You're not going to ever read that. This is going to unclaimed funds in whatever state LinkedIn is incorporated in.
The suit, filed in California, focused on the professional networking site Ad Connection features that lets users import their personal contacts so LinkedIn can then send out invitation emails suggesting they connect through the service. If a recipient failed to respond to the invitation by a certain time, the company would then send out up to 2 additional emails prompting the invitee to make a decision about whether or not to connect. So they were spamming people.
Yep.
The suit notes that while a user may give their permission to send out the initial invitation, they did not consent to the sending of the 2 reminder emails or to use their name and image in those emails. Oh, so they were saying such and such wants you to join LinkedIn, yep, and, you know, put their picture in it. Well, shit, Facebook does that stuff. How come nobody sued them? A couple of extra messages sending in the mugs may not sound like a big deal, but the lack of clarity of the site's terms of service about these follow-up emails resulted in the lawsuit, one of which has ended up costing the Silicon Valley-based firm $13 million. If you were using the service between September 2011 and October 2014, and you used the Ad Connections feature at the center of the dispute, you could take a close look at the email sent out by the company. If you can't find it or you simply trashed it without taking a second, hit the webpage set up by the lawyers to see if you're eligible for a portion of the settlement. So, you know, you can claim your $5 or whatever the hell.
$13 million? You might be able to get $20 or $30.
I don't know. They send a lot. I'm talking about spam, right? It's a lot of emails. But yeah, you're right. It's most people aren't going to read that, and it's just going to go straight to trash.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and Florida's just going to, or not Florida, California's just going to have some money in their unclaimed funds account for however long before it's turned over to the state.
So, finally, last story I have here before Dojo. There's a new app that just was released called Ripple. And first of all, beside the pictures of their founders for this app having very punchable faces, it claims to be an app that's going to help you spread your influence among your social media followers, right? So what it really is they are building an advertising service based on paying people who have lots of Facebook and Twitter followers to do native advertising on their feeds.
Awesome.
Yeah. So today, Ingalls and Wright are unveiling a new service called Ripple, which is designed, or RIPL, which is designed to help social media influencers build their followings and monetize their social streams with targeted promotion. Let's see. What makes go ahead.
I almost have a different take on this. You know,
you get paid for your followers?
It's a completely new form of employment that they are generating. Where, you know, it's kind of like one of those kind of like post-scarcity type jobs that you're going to start seeing pop up. Where, you know, it's really like there's no value added, really. It's just fucking advertising. But, you know, people can make money from home.
Well, I don't know that I want to go
by being social.
I guess. I mean, I'm not sure I want to pick a fight with you over the term post-scarcity. Madman might, though.
No. Like, we're don't misunderstand. I don't mean like we're in a post-scarcity society right now or anything. But it's like one of the types of jobs that you would probably start seeing pop up a lot if it were a post-scarcity society.
Because like, okay, I just want to point out with a post-scarcity society, that's Star Trek. Okay, that's how far you have to get before you get to a post-scarcity society.
Oh yeah, like, but, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, you know, moving in that direction.
I mean, my 3D printer's cool and all, but it ain't no damn replicator.
Oh yeah, but like, you know, I don't know what the proper term would be. You know, post-scarcity isn't the right one, obviously, but
yeah, I
you know, just like,
mean,
we have way more resources available to us for way less effort than anybody has ever.
Well, listen to the quote here. We are the only ones that help influencers build and monetize their following and enable brands to effectively engage influencers with followings in the 1,000 to 50,000 range that happen to reach the largest audience, said Wright, who sold Smilebox to Incredimail for $40 million in 2011. And I have a personal hatred for Incredimail, but that's not the point. The Ripple app, which is launching today, helps social media influencers. Why do they keep using this fucking marketing speak? Ripple allows social media users to make money by sharing promotions with their followers. So they can choose and personalize the ones they like and share them across social media. We do this by treating promos like other posts and enabling influencers to customize the copy, imagery, and overall look for their audience. So write a native ad. Basically, they're saying if you have a lot of Twitter followers, write native ads through our application and you can get paid.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to thank them because now I have a legitimate reason to ignore my family on social media. This man is secretly doing a service to us all. So now, whenever someone's asking, well, why didn't you see my post? You can say, because you spam fucking ads, you vapid whore.
Awesome.
And it's good to see you too, Grandma.
And I love you. I'll see you in Thanksgiving.
All right. Yo! Oh,
with an egg roll.
With an egg roll. Yes. I need to record Man Band saying with an egg roll now and add that into the digital dungeon thing. And just to point out for RU, we made it almost 50 minutes into the show before I mentioned 3D printing. So the first thing I have is really cool. It's called Creep. It's a Python script that will identify insecure enterprise EAP authentication going on. So I guess I should... okay. So with Wi-Fi, right? With web or WPA, you have different kinds of authentication schemes. The most common one you use on your home is what's called pre-shared key. And there's a couple versions of that, but you know, you see that in your router as WPA2-PSK. And what that means is you have a password, that password gets you on the Wi-Fi, right? That's your key, is whatever you set your password to. Now, Enterprise Wi-Fi is a little bit different. Usually with Enterprise Wi-Fi, they hook it up to a Radius server so that you actually have to log in with your user account. So there's not a shared Wi-Fi password for an office. It's, you know, everyone has their own password, and you log into it just like you would. Anybody who's worked at a big office has seen this stuff. Schools do it. But the most common ones are things like EAP-PEAP. And this script sees the fact that a lot of these are insecure. A lot of these different authentication protocol types are insecure. So you've got Leap and Peep, both of which are considered weak, and in Peep, the identity is sent in the clear. And then you got the ones that are MD5'd, and those are prone to cracking. So Creep is a Python script that monitors Wi-Fi and basically grabs usernames out of the air as people authenticate using the Radius authentication methods.
Wow.
So if you wanted to hack somebody's Wi-Fi, you just run this for a bit and then start guessing passwords, right? And given the fact that whereas your IT people probably have a decent password, your average accountant or secretary is going to use their pet's name, or, you know, you can use the username to figure out what their real name is, go hit their Facebook up and, you know, build your password cracker, right? Pet's name, favorite sports team, kids' names, kids' birthdays, I mean, all the standard crap for password guessing. And, yeah. Nobody has any opinion on this?
I just like the Radiohead reference, but I know you weren't making one.
Well, maybe an Airhead reference in there. But but yeah, it's actually called Creep. I get a kick out of. So
yeah.
And the last thing I have for Dojo tonight is a Reddit-developed script called Tron that fights for the users. What it really is a big set of Windows scripts that will run a bunch of anti-malware tools. They'll update and patch and optimize the system. They'll do a bunch of cleanup, getting all the bloatware off. Pretty much, it's a tool that sysadmins put together to quickly clean up Windows boxes. And I've probably linked it before, but it is a damn handy thing when you have to deal with a large amount of Windows machines that get, you know, fucked up because users don't know what they're doing. So, Static, I'd expect you to at least look at this. You have to set up machines for people.
Yep, all the time for work.
It's a glorified batch script, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it automates, they say here it automates 85-90% of the tasks a technician would normally perform.
That's so, actually super handy, and I'm going to be using that, but
it downloads it as well? Everything you need?
One version of it did. It had a fully automatic mode that would pull down stuff. But
what you linked,
yeah, it uses
is it the download?
It's a script and it uses sync thing, but yeah, it's a download.
Okay.
But let's see. Yeah, hell, let me go check out the download. I haven't looked at it in a bit. But the whole thing's wrapped up in an executable, right? So it's probably got a bunch of the tools already loaded in it, but I think it uses sync thing and just pulls them down. But it's got a bunch of flags for, you know, what to skip, but it's running things like MBAM, Sophos, KBRT, Kaspersky. Yeah, it does all the built-in Windows stuff for defrag and file system check. I think it uses Inite for patching.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm just reading all the flags here. I like that.
You can have it delete itself when it's done. But yeah, it uses a combination of mostly the built-in Windows stuff and then the freebie stuff you normally get off the internet.
Yeah.
So. But that's all I've got tonight. Oh, wow, we're pretty much right at an hour. So, unless anybody else says anything.
No, I think that's everything.
Time to close up the show, see if my 3D printing one of the NASA wrenches, see if it's done. Oh, it's getting there.